This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball game is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Sauce after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
You want to get on the conversation? Call or text the Morning Rush at 877-377-6963. Let's go to the phone lines. Billy Joe, the LSU Tiger fan, who's probably going or having a big morning. Are you already down there in New Orleans? You partying it up, Billy Joe?
Oh, no. I'm at work at Granite's. I've been in Arkansas for about 10 years. I want to say God bless and congratulations on your basketball win and everything. And have y'all seen the Joker movies? Matt, y'all need to watch the Joker movie.
I know that Matty T has seen it.
60 Minutes last night. 60 Minutes did a feature on Joaquin Phoenix and spent a lot of time on the Joker.
Yeah, so. I actually watched it with my girlfriend over the weekend, and she's not somebody that likes like horror movies or anything too graphic, and she was intrigued by it the entire time. So the writing and the foreshadowing, so it's a good movie.
but you know what? I think Joaquin Phoenix is a better Joker than Ledger. Okay, now on a real note. I'm tired of hearing about how Taboo Sweeney is crying. They don't play nobody. LSU, Arkansas, teams from the SEC, plays more harder competition. He cried about when they dropped number 3, and he's crying about where the game's being played at. My thing is, you should be grateful where you're at. And it's not our fault that y'all don't play no hard competition. That's what's wrong with the ACC. They don't play nobody. And he started playing more harder competition. And, yeah, I'm sorry, but Clemson is going to get slaughtered tonight. Joe Burrow is going to be probably player of this game. And when it's all said and done with, he would be one of the greatest quarterback players of all time that ever played a college game. He broke records that's been set. And with that being said, I'm just... Clemson is done tonight. I will leave y'all with that. Y'all, God bless y'all. Y'all have a blessed day.
All right. Appreciate it, Billy Joe. You know, good luck tonight.
And I'm not a big defender of Clemson or Dabo Sweeney, but
no, it's Dabo Sweeney.
Dabo,
as Billy Joe called him.
EAUX, Dabo.
Yeah, Dabo Sweeney.
So here was the full quote from what he said. When people are, because people in the media kind of went nuts on this and started retweeting, and it just took a life of its own. But he was asked about playing the national championship game in New Orleans. He said, so it's pretty cool, but yeah, this is definitely a road game. It just worked out that way. And I mean, you don't know these things in advance, but I think it's really cool for LSU. How cool is that for them to be able to just hop on a bus and ride up the road for 40 minutes or so? It would be like us playing for the national championship in Greenville, literally. Might as well have just played in Baton Rouge. No different. But may have been better weather here in the Dome. So I'll be good, but yeah, it's no different. People are picking apart that might as well have just played in Baton Rouge, taking that one sentence, and that he's whining and crying. Listen, if Arkansas got, I mean, first of all, Arkansas would be elated just to be in the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. Hell, we'd be just elated.
Go to Pasadena, let's go.
Just be in a bowl game right now.
Yeah.
But this would be like the most Arkansas thing ever. You finally get into a national championship game and you have to play someone like Clemson in Greenville or LSU in Baton Rouge. You know, that would just be it would stack the odds even more against you.
Mm-hmm.
But Clemson's going to be just fine. I don't think Dabo's worried about where he's playing the game or the edge at home. And all he's doing is talking to his team. He's doing the same thing that we praise Nolan for doing in 1994,
mm-hmm.
You know, when he had the chip on his shoulder and what was all the thing. It's the smart kids against the dumb kids and all these things that he tried to do to put in his kids' minds. We're the underdogs. We're having to fight for everything here. It's all stacked against us. It's us against the world.
That's all he's doing.
Dabo's doing the same thing here, man. Mm-hmm. He's just coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And listen, he's won a few national championships, so he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And I know in this game, you know, he has to play that mentality for his team to get motivated. Well, like, he knows his team. He knows what's going to push him. He knows what's going to get to under their skin and light a fire under them. And by doing these things, I'm sure it's helping. I mean, because they're undefeated right now. And also, Love Billy Joe. Is that the most? That's the most SEC thing ever. They ain't played nobody.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the ACC. They ain't played nobody.
They haven't played the competition LSU's played.
They have not. Not anywhere close. I mean, who would you say is Clemson's best win? I mean, Virginia Tech. And who's their best win? I can't think of one.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you, Billy Joe, as far as the margin of victory tonight. I think LSU's going to blow them out, but that's just me. But we'll talk about that later in the show. Let's go back to the phone lines. Danny's in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. The basketball team, another gritty win. It's just amazing. We worked on the rebounding, and it was better. But we got a new problem to work on. They drove and got to the rim over and over again, and we got to stop fouling. I mean, they only missed like one free throw or two, something like that.
Ole Miss only missed one free throw.
Right.
I mean,
but Arkansas only fouled 18 times in the game.
And Ole Miss fouled 24.
Yeah, I didn't think Arkansas fouled a bunch.
Well, in the first half, we didn't make our free throws, that's for sure. In the second half, we were money. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm about ready for a little bit of uneventful game, you know, where we're up at 8 at halftime and 16 at the end of the game.
If everything goes to plan,
having to get down 11 and come back every game, you know.
If everything goes to plan, Wednesday night should be that.
Well, I'll certainly hope so. Tennessee was the more physical team against Baltimore. You could see that Derrick Henry, I don't know how big he is, but he's huge. And they got tired of tackling him. And that's kind of what I have envisioned for Arkansas, to be a physical team, very accurate at quarterback, and have a quarterback that can get you. If you remember Cam Newton, he was pretty good. When you were 3rd and 3, you were dead. I mean, just give him a first down. You couldn't. He's going to get that 3 to 5 yards, and you couldn't get off the field. I don't want the quarterback getting hit 30 times a game. I mean, because
who does?
Yeah. Robert Griffin, you remember? He got hit so much, he just put him out of business. And that's what I envision with the Hogs. I'm ready to see a physical team with very accurate quarterback. We got good receivers. And fix this pitiful defense. Guys, you have a good day. Thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate it, Danny. You know, and the thing is, Danny, and I'm not singling you out or anything, but this is something that happens with sometimes, especially in basketball, is when you brought up, you know, the way that Ole Miss was driving to the basket and all of that. Listen, there's going to be times where you're going to go up against teams that have strengths of their own. I mean, they do. You're going to go up against teams that, like Ole Miss, their strength is driving to the basket. And when they drive to the basket, they not only make shots, but they get fouled. They go to the free throw line. That's something that they've worked on, something that Kermit Davis has made a big emphasis on this year. And sometimes you're just going to have to go up against them, and they're going to do it well. I mean, as much as we'd love to have a team get shut down in every aspect of the game and you get the victory, it's just not realistic. Because, listen, Arkansas is 13-2 right now, 2-1 in conference play. They got two big games coming up this week. And I guarantee you on Wednesday against Vanderbilt, as we mentioned, Vanderbilt's not a very good team. But I guarantee you, Tommy, that Vanderbilt is going to do something better than Arkansas. Whether it's the rebounding, whether it's the free throw shooting. I mean, there's always going, like, the other team's going to do something well. But it's about, can Arkansas do more things well enough to win? And that's what they did. They had Isaiah Joe just kill it in the second half. They made more of their threes. They went 8 of 20 from three-point land. Ole Miss only went 3 of 13. They made their free throws in the second half. And one thing that we mentioned about the fouls, Arkansas only fouled 18 times.
Right.
Only turned the ball over 10 times, where Ole Miss fouled 24 times, turned the ball over 16 times. So things like that, you know, if you look at the stat sheets, Arkansas's just got to win more of those battles than what Ole Miss did, and that's what they did. They won, ended up getting the victory because of that.
And this was a game where it was about the outside. I mean, look at Adriel Bailey. 5 rebounds, 8 points. 2 of those 8 came from the free throw line that were big in that moment late in the game on that 5-point possession. It wasn't the kind of game where you were going to get a lot out of him, and he's not your point scorer. But I'm telling you, you are not 13-2 without Adriel Bailey playing his role. And Saturday was one of those days where Isaiah Joe was just in the groove, man. Mm-hmm. He was just feeling it.
Yeah.
And You know, the basket, I guarantee in his mind, it looked as big as a washtub up
yep.
there.
Yep. And that's what I love, many things. That's what I love about Eric Musselman and his coaching style is that he does not try to slow anything down. He does not try to get a breather for his hot hand. He keeps them in there, and he's like, listen, Isaiah Joe, even if you start off with a rough shooting night, keep shooting. Because I know you're a good enough player, and yep. you have that type of talent that you're yep. going to start getting it going. Yep. And he doesn't scale back when it looks, he doesn't panic, I guess is my whole point. Eric Musselman does not panic. This team does not panic if things aren't going well. Because Tommy, I think they went like a three and a half minute stretch without scoring in the first half. I mean, mm-hmm. but didn't stop anybody from just, all right, well, we need to get Isaiah Joe out and start getting Desi Sills some threes. Like, no, it was never that.
Arkansas is a streaky team. They just go on. I mean, what I mean is a team of runs.
Right.
They're going to go on runs where it's about, and we've said this before, this is something Musselman's referenced, and so this isn't something we dreamed up. This is repeating what the coaches are saying. You know, there's going to be 3 to 4 runs in a basketball game, and Arkansas's got to win the majority of those. That's and it's really down to, can Arkansas win the last run? The last big offensive run in the game has to go Arkansas's way.
Yep.
That's really what it's about. Because there's going to be about 3 to 4 stretches of good scoring from one team or the other, and you got to hang in there, and Arkansas's got to be the victor on that last run. And I think Arkansas just, they wear other teams down, kind of like Nolan tried to do back in the day. It's harder to do with all the media timeouts. It's hard to do with all the stoppages in the game for monitor reviews and everything else to get a team physically wore down. But I think you could see it late in the LSU game. Both teams were wore down, including LSU. And I think Ole Miss, to a degree, you could see was tugging at their shorts when mm-hmm. they were at the free throw line. They were, you know, they were trying to pull some air on Saturday, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, and you know what, Tommy? It's not because Arkansas is just playing this full-court defense that's making them run up and down the court. That's what's the impressive thing. It's because it'd be one thing if you were having that where, yeah, they were tired because of that. They're tired because Arkansas's defense especially makes you yep. work for everything.
Yep. Every possession.
Everything. You do not get just open shots. You do not just get good setting of screens where it leaves a man wide. You just mm-hmm. don't get that.
Right.
So you have to work just until 8 seconds left in the shot clock for yep. that extended period of time. They will make you go out and earn it. And that's where the fatigue's really going to set. And not only physically, but mentally, too, because it gets frustrating when you can't, the plays you have set in place, the things you've been working on in practice all week long, you can't put into motion, you can't translate it because the other team's throwing you out of it.
Yeah, Tony and Greenwood text into the program. You can text in as well, 877-377-6963. Said, hey, if you think they're wearing people out now, wait till they have 8 or 9 to play. That's a good point, because right now they're doing it with very few numbers. I just think it's hard in today's game. Back to what I said 45 seconds ago, it's just hard to wear teams out when every 4 minutes in the game, there's a TV timeout. 16, 12, 8, and 4, there's a, you know, that's how Nolan did it back in the day where there weren't all these TV timeouts till you got to the tournament. But now, I mean, yeah, you got to be in great shape to play because it's college game and all these guys are at their peak physical condition. But it's not like the old days where you may go 8 or 10 minutes of the game without any kind of stop. Until a team called a timeout, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So now each, you know, you got the 8 built-in medias, and each team has 4. It's rare that a team, and Arkansas certainly not using 4 timeouts. Musselman may go a game and not even use a timeout.
Yeah.
They did Saturday, but, you know, that's what makes it even harder in today's game to wear a team physically down. And you're exactly right. Arkansas's do it in the half court by just making you work harder to get open for shots.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the type of defense that where not only it makes, because Arkansas has to work hard too. And I'm not saying they never get fatigued, especially when most of their players, especially the guys like Isaiah Joe and Jimmy Witt are playing 38, 39, 40 minutes a game. They're going to get tired.
But his point's right. Wait until they have 9 players they can use.
Yeah. And assuming that's the style.
The real minutes.
Assuming that's the style that Eric Musselman wants to go for. Yeah. But the amount
they played 8 players on Saturday, but Reggie Cheney played 4 minutes.
Yeah, Gentile Silla was getting, I mean, he got 11 minutes. He played early in the game, too.
And Jalen Harris came in off the bench, played 10 minutes, but got 4 fouls in 10 minutes.
Pretty impressive. Yeah, try to do that. Maybe it's the muscle that goes down underneath. You know, but throwing in Gentile Silla in there, I think, is going off of more what Eric Musselman was talking about in his press conference last week when he says, we're trying to find someone to help spell Adriel Bailey. We're trying to find a guy that can come in and when Adriel Bailey needs a breather and hold their own. And I think going with Jintal Sill is just trying to find that guy because Reggie Chaney's been struggling, really has been. So I feel like that's the point. And Jintal didn't play bad. He did go 1 of 4 from the free throw line, but he had 5 rebounds in the game, only turned the ball over once, only had 2 fouls. So you know, if you can just get somebody to spell a little bit of Adriel Bailey, because Adriel Bailey's been so huge this year. I mean, he continues to be so impressive and the huge jump that he's made. But as so many different times that we've seen this team, in fact, I'll just let Eric Musselman talk about it. He was after the game was talking about this team and how they continue just to go out and not ever flinch, not ever get down on themselves and not ever let the other team impose their will on them. They just don't have any fear.
Yeah, I mean, I think, I watched the Indiana game today against Ohio State, and that's a tough place to play. And I just think that this group, like, we don't really fear anything, you know. And in the huddle, halftime, like, they still think they're going to win, you know. And I think that's a mark of a really tough team. And I think they're tough-minded. I mean, you look at our games, I mean, we literally could be sitting here without a loss, too. We're 1 rebound away at LSU and certainly, you know, the last 40 seconds at Western Kentucky. But I think our team likes playing on the road, believe it or not. I think some teams, you know, I don't know what word you want to use, but some teams can get shook on the road, and I don't feel that way with this group.
You know, it's one thing to say as a team or as a player, You're not scared of anybody. You're not afraid of them. I mean, they're just another team. Da da da. It's one thing to do it, but it's another thing to show it. And that's what Arkansas and this team has done. And as you just heard from Eric Musselman saying that they don't fear anybody. They enjoy playing on the road. They enjoy going out. And then even at halftime in all their games, they still think they're going to win. It's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to show it. And that's what this team has been doing all year long. Is that they don't get down on themselves. They don't think it's over. They continue to claw and fight back. And I don't know if it's simply just chalking it up to that's something Eric Musselman's done or this is something that just that this collective group has done. I don't know exactly if you can do a credit meter and see what percentage is who. I think it's a collective effort, obviously. But when this team is down for the rest of the season by double digits in the second half, I feel comfortable. As weird as that is. And I think this team feels comfortable,
well,
too.
You do till they don't come back and win again. You feel comfortable right now because they're pretty much coming back and either winning or, like at LSU, they were a bucket away.
Well, yeah, that's my point, though.
You feel comfortable until they're down 10 and they lose by 12. You know, and then,
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying is right. That every time they've done that, which has been right. Multiple times this year, they've come back. So right. I'm comfortable with it.
Until they don't.
Well, yes.
And then then you'll say, well, I'm not as confident anymore.
I'm comfortable with Mason Jones making free throws at the end of the game until he's not.
All right, like, exactly. Yes.
Well, I know, but that's my point is that if Arkansas plays Kentucky on Saturday and they're down by 11 points with 8 minutes to go,
you're not gonna panic.
I'm not going to feel like this game's over. Where in a lot of other cases, it may feel that way.
I'm just saying people aren't going to have the faith to do that forever and ever till the end of the year. I mean, that's all I'm saying is – everybody's in on the must bus. You know, let's blow the horn. Burp, burp. You know, we're ready to go. What happens when he loses 2 in a row? You know?
He hasn't yet.
He hadn't yet. We don't know. Yeah. You know, I'm just saying.
What if he doesn't?
He'll be the greatest coach in the history of the program.
Give him a statue outside.
Right.
Bud Walton Arena. But the excitement would be there for sure. It's just we only have the sample size that's in front of us.
I understand.
This is all we got right now.
We got 15 games.
We got they're 13-2.
Right.
I mean, and the two games that they've lost, as Eric Musselman said, I mean they could be undefeated right now. Now they could also have lost that Georgia Tech game. We understand that too. But they have been in position at the end of every single game to win. And I think it's a credit to not only these players and their buy-in and their ability to continue to grind it out and be tough. I mean, it's just That's the type of team that you want. That's the type of team Arkansas has. And honestly, it's pretty shocking to me that so far this year, considering losing what they lost last year and a lot of unknownness that they had, especially with not having a big man underneath, the fact that they're playing this well is just so impressive.
Devin says I was being obnoxious there. Was that obnoxious?
About what?
I guess about saying we believe until they don't believe. You know, we believe until they don't do it.
I mean, I don't know. You're obnoxious.
He says, just enjoy. Exactly. I thought it was an all the time thing. Just enjoy the team for what it is, Football is garbage. Enjoy it. Hey, I'm with you. I wouldn't mean obnoxious, though.
Yeah, you were playing the devil's advocate.
I'm just saying I know how we as fans are. We're all in until, well, it doesn't happen, you know.
Yeah, and as Arkansas has gone on this season,
I've seen this before.
Right, and we've seen things that, listen, what they had in the lack of rebounding against LSU was just, it was a scary thing. But we kind of know now, though, that this team is going to struggle to rebound the basketball. So it's like, as long as
the blueprint's out there.
Right. As long as everything goes according to plan with this team, I think that's the biggest thing. And what I mean by that is, as Arkansas, we know they're going to be out-rebounded in almost every game this year. If they get out-rebounded by Ole Miss or if they get out-rebounded by Vanderbilt, that's not going to concern me. You know what's going to concern me? Is if Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe can't hit their threes. Because that's all part of the plan, is for them to hit their threes.
And those nights are going to happen.
And they're going to happen. Part of the plan is going to be for Arkansas to get a bunch of turnovers. Part of Arkansas's deal is going to be hitting their free throws. Like, that's all part of the plan. But the scary thing is when you're going to be loose if you start losing games because you can't get Joe and Jones hot from three. Or you start losing games because you can't hit your free throws. Or you start losing games because you can't play defense anymore. We know what Arkansas is right now as far as what their blueprint is for them to win. But the blueprint for them to lose is out there, is you just got to get physical. You got to get rebounds.
And I can't tell you which team it is on the schedule because I don't know enough about everybody's roster. But there's going to be a team where they have a bigger four or five that doesn't get as many minutes now. But when they're playing Arkansas, that coach, because they know Arkansas's deficiency in rebounding, I'm going to play these guys off the bench or maybe even start them for this game because that's my best way to beat Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that LSU tape will be studied, I think, by many teams that have the body types to do that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And listen,
play guys minutes that don't normally get those minutes.
And you're going to be going up against some pretty dadgum good coaches in this conference.
Yeah.
It's not like the SEC of a few years ago when you had a bunch of nobodies. Like, I mean, you got guys like Rick Barnes, John Calipari, Bruce Pearl. Yeah. You got, I don't know why his name just escaped me, South Carolina coach that's been around forever.
What?
Frank Martin.
Frank Martin.
Why
was it Kansas State? Now they're Frank Martin.
But my point is you have a lot of great coaches.
That all I can see is that vein in his forehead throbbing out when he gets pissed off.
I know. Like, could you imagine him yelling at you? I don't want to imagine it. That's a scary thing. But it's a lot of good coaches in this conference is my point.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, available in black cherry, strawberry, lemon lime, and mango.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
But it is the game tonight, big college football national championship game, LSU and Clemson, both teams undefeated. It should make for a great matchup. Here's what I think is interesting. I always find it funny when you look at spreads and what predictors say and all that. LSU's favored by 5.5 points in this game as of right now. But on ESPN.com's matchup predictor, they have Clemson winning 55% or 55.8% of the prediction has Clemson winning. And honestly, I look at these two teams, and I think that, of course, they have different reasons of why they could win. They both have great, phenomenal players, great quarterbacks. Joe Burrow, obviously the Heisman winner, but Trevor Lawrence has done a phenomenal job this season as well. And the real story for me, of course, is going to be LSU and Ed Orgeron. Because I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I didn't think Ed Orgeron would do well at LSU. I thought that it was a hire when they made it that was not going to do anything better than what Les Miles was able to do. I fully believe that. I have been proven wrong.
Me too, but, John. I admit that.
Yeah,
me too.
I mean, and we weren't the only ones. There was a lot of people that felt that way, and rightfully so. I mean, the guy, the only time he was a head coach, other than being an interim, was when he was at Ole Miss, and it didn't go well at all. So we didn't exactly have the largest sample size, or at least the best sample size, to know whether or not he would be a great coach or not. But he has proven me wrong. But the whole question that I have for you guys and everybody listening is that if LSU wins the national championship game tonight and does it convincingly, which I mean, very possible that they might do, does LSU and Ed Orgeron, is this the beginning of something massive? Is this the beginning of dynasty? Is this the beginning of a whole new level of a monster? Or Do you have the feeling that this is just a perfect season, a perfect time, a perfect everything that goes their way to where they may not be able to recapture this once again?
Let me ask you this. Would the teams in the college football playoff, the four teams we saw, include tonight's teams and then what, Oklahoma and Ohio State, be different if Tua Tagovailoa had never been injured? If he played 100% healthy the whole year?
I do.
See, I think, I mean, to say that this is the beginning of a new dynasty is to say Alabama's going away. Alabama had an off year. Well, why did Alabama have an off year? Their star quarterback was injured. So I just wonder what you guys think the landscape would look like in the college football playoff if Tua had not been injured. Would LSU still been better than in the regular season? Auburn still have beaten Alabama? What would have happened differently down the stretch with a healthy Tua?
Well, first of all, Oklahoma wouldn't have been in the playoff.
No. Yeah, there you go. There's
Alabama would have been in. Mm-hmm. And then you would have a whole different, semifinal game. I think it's a coin toss to say whether, LSU could beat Alabama twice. The other narrative is what's going to happen after Joe Burrow leaves. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a generational guy. I mean, he's the number one player in the draft, and all the stars align for Joe Brady to have the best quarterback in college football. Now he helped make him that, but they're going to have massive attrition. And that's part of the story, is they had 19 starters back. Well, that's not going to be where LSU is next year. Now, will they go forward in that position? Depends on, the replacement at quarterback. And that has always been the one piece to the puzzle that LSU could not solve. And, yeah, they got Joe Brady now, but for how long? And then the other aspect of that is who do you insert in there that can play anywhere close to Joe Brady? I don't think there's anybody. They may stun us, but I think they're gonna slide back. Now Alabama's not gonna have Tua next year, so they've got to. Quarterback is the deal, guys. Mm-hmm. You got to have everything else, but quarterback is the straw that stirs the drink. Mm-hmm. And Alabama's got to replace there, and so does now Georgia. I guess is gonna have Jake Fromm, right? That's an interesting part of the conversation, is do they surge forward?
He's going the other way.
Yeah, he's actually –
he's out.
Yeah,
yeah.
He declared. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm wrong about that. Well, that makes it even more interesting. Wide open next year. Mm-hmm. Wide open.
Yeah.
And all three of those have recruited tremendously. Alabama's freshman class might have been the best that they've ever signed. And they are absolutely loaded going forward. So don't expect those guys to slide back.
Well, and I guess when I look at this LSU team, and this is the ultimate question that we're going to have, is because it's so difficult, as we've seen in college football, to be able to just have the dynasties, to be able to be programs that just win, or at least competing to win year in and year out. Nick Saban and Dabo Sweeney are kind of the two exceptions to that rule. Urban Meyer did it for a bit too, but it's very difficult. I'm wondering if this year's LSU team is what 2010 Auburn was, where they just had a phenomenal player at quarterback that made the offense just absolutely unstoppable.
Generational.
Yeah, generational type of player. And then once they move on, and this is not to say that if Joe Burrow moves on or even Joe Brady moves on or whatnot,
they're still going
to
be good.
Yeah, they're still going to be a good program. I'm not trying to say that. But I just don't know if it's going to be a program where year in and year out, they're going to be winning the West and even going to take over Nick Saban and Alabama as the new powerhouse in this division. I think that they will always be competitive, but are they set up as a program, and is Ed Orgeron going to be set up as a coach to where he can continue to bring in big-time assistants and have a knack for that, have a knack for bringing in big-time assistants to be able to leave? Because that's honestly, I think, probably the most overlooked thing and most difficult thing it is in any sport to have dynasties, is that you're, especially in college sports, you have coordinators and assistant coaches leave like they're going out of style. Why? Because when you have big time success as a program, people at other programs want to try to be able to capture some of that success. So what better way to do it than to try to hire some of those coordinators? We've seen it with Nick Saban in Alabama. I mean, how many different coordinators has he gone through, especially offensively? It's because those guys have success, and they try to pull them. You know, Kirby Smart at Georgia was a defense coordinator at Alabama for a long time. Why did they hire Kirby Smart at Georgia? I mean, I know that he had connections to the program and everything, but they hired him because they saw the success of Alabama. Mm-hmm. They saw the success of Alabama's defense year in and year out. They want to recapture it. That's what makes it so difficult. It's one thing to be able to have it be a great head coach and recruit really well, but can you continue to bring in big-time assistants when they leave? Joe Brady's not going to be at LSU forever.
Dave Aranda, the same deal.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody's going to make him ahead. It might be NFL, but it's – and, you know, every once in a while you get a Brent Venables. It's like, I think I just want to be a defensive coordinator at Clemson because he's turned down jobs. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. And LSU's got a lot of money, and they're you know, they can raise ticket prices. They can do whatever they want. They can get more money. So it's the quarterback is the deal, guys. I mean, you look around and what is Trevor Lawrence? Well, he's an undefeated college quarterback. And, you know, that's the rarest thing. By the way, Connor Nolan is the other one.
Yeah.
He's 1-0.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who would have thought that would have been the case?
In most places, you're not going to get anyone come up with the answer on that. No one's going to be thinking Connor Nolan at 1-0.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a trivia question later. We'll get to it. It's really fascinating. And somebody might get it, but it's mm-hmm. it's got an Arkansas tie to this national championship game, a trivia question. So,
yeah.
The quarterback is the deal, man. It's and you got to have that. You know, we talked about Isaiah Joe being the dude. You know, Joe Burrow is the dude, and so is Trevor Lawrence. And Trevor Lawrence reminded me of Arkansas's one of its last dudes at quarterback, which was Matt Jones. You know, when he stretched out those legs, he's wearing number 9, and he's running. And I was like, well, he's not going that fast. Well, he's pulling away. It's like those 6'6 guys.
Strides.
Yeah, they're long strides. You're right, Tommy.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Trevor Lawrence is not a scrub by any stretch of the imagination. He's thrown for over 3,400 yards this year. He's completing 68% of his passes, 36 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. And if you just look at the stats, as far as the team stats go for Clemson, they're scoring 45 points a game. LSU's scoring 48 points a game, so pretty comparable. Points allowed, LSU's giving up 21 points. Clemson, 10. They're only giving up 10 points a game. Now, it's going to go back.
Venables.
That's going to go back to the point, though, that I know people are going to bring up. They ain't played nobody.
Yep.
They ain't played anybody in that ACC. Well, and I agree with you. The ACC was not a great conference this year. They did beat Ohio State. That's a pretty big-time win, let's be honest. But it's going to be – this is going to be their biggest test by far. And can they be the one team to slow down LSU and Joe Burrow is going to be the ultimate question. Let's go to the phone lines. Evan is in Fayetteville. What's going on, Evan?
What's happening, fellas? I was going to point out when you brought this whole thing up and you started it and you said that you talked about will Ed Orgeron ever be – you thought Ed Orgeron may not do any more than Les Miles is or Les Miles did. Let's keep in mind Les Miles won a national championship and played for another one. So LSU could win it all this year and Ed Orgeron could still not be Les Miles.
Well, no, I was just referring to when they fired Les Miles, obviously – they were not at that same level of success that they were having from the 2007 and the 2011 seasons. They had dropped off. That's what I was referring to as more of like, did you really fire? You fired Les Miles. Are you really upgrading with Ed Orgeron? That was my whole point.
I totally get it. And I pretty well, surprisingly, I agree with Clay. I mean, let's see what this thing looks like when they don't hit the quarterback transfer lottery and Joe Burrow. And let's see what this thing looks like when Joe Brady's, you know, off to be a new head coach. I still, frankly, I just don't have faith in Orgeron to keep this thing on the when there's a little bit of controversy, when, you know, players start getting arrested and things that we've seen in the past with him, I'd be interested to see what he looks like as a head coach then. It's awfully easy to look good when it all goes well. I'll hold my judgment on Orgeron. Let's see what happens when it doesn't.
Yeah. No, and I agree with you, Evan, and that's fair, and appreciate the phone call. I think that another thing that's going to have to happen for coaches, especially, is that, you know, what is Ed Orgeron going to look like when the expectation gets turned up to 11 and the pressure gets turned up to 11? If he wins it this year, LSU fans are going to be, all right, we're expecting this to be a common thing, winning a national championship.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not every year, but every other year. So how's he going to handle that type of pressure? Which is, there was already pressure at LSU, but to where now you have to continue to do it. They want you to be Nick Saban. You know, you're going to have to be Nick Saban at LSU.
Better than Nick Saban.
Yeah, you're going to have to win those championships. So how does he handle
that? No, you got to beat Alabama, and they did it. And they and will they continue to do it? And I don't think they will, because I think Alabama is going to surge. And I put my trust more in Nick Saban than I do Ed Orgeron to get it done. But by the same token, he's got him there, and to the to the victors go the spoils. That's pretty sweet. And not every time when they get there are they going to be playing in the Superdome like tonight. That's pretty sweet for LSU. I mean, you're talking about the rarest air there is for LSU to be going for a national championship in the Dome in New Orleans. So, I've said that the way a Cajun would, but I tried.
Hey, it's Hot Take Monday, brought to you by Crabtree RV in Alma. The RV, Boat, and Outdoor Show is coming up. Shop indoors and compare top brands of travel trailers and fifth wheels, as well as bass, ski, and pontoon boats. Incredible deals on golf carts, mowers, side-by-sides, four-wheelers, outdoor clothing and equipment, all under one roof. Parking and admission is free, so make your plans to be at Crabtree RV in Alma for the RV, Boat, and Outdoor Show on January 31st through February the 8th. That's Crabtree RV in Alma, where your family's dreams come true. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, LSU played for a national title before the Superdome, and it didn't go so well.
No, you're right.
They didn't cross the 50.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, that was...
against Alabama.
Yep.
Now, so Jordan Jefferson at quarterback. That's probably a big factor into it as well.
And that's the difference between now and then.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just without question. They had all the pieces then. It just they could not complete a pass. And it was ugly, to be honest. And it's one of the most boring games, national championship games, in the history of college football.
Yeah. And it's what changed the landscape of the postseason, because the rest of the college football world said, no more of this SEC versus SEC stuff. We're going to have a playoff now. We're going to put it in the hands of a committee. We're going to this and that. Well, and here you are. It's still like, 3 years in a row you've had an ACC versus an SEC team?
I believe so. I believe that's correct, yeah.
So
I mean, well, and another point that you brought up, Clay, that I thought was interesting is just, you said that you still favor Nick Saban as far as the matchups go and as far as the future holds. You still believe that he's going to get it turned around and get back to where – they're that team still, and I don't disagree with you, but my question is, at what point do we start believing that the tide is finally turned for Alabama and Nick Saban?
Saban's not there?
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, next year, for instance, if they don't make the playoff, if they lose two regular season games again, which I know is just unfathomable.
Well, we can say that. Yeah, I think that we could. If they lose two games next year and they're not in the playoffs, then you can say, well, that's back-to-back. There's something, he's got a bad run of assistant coaches. And you know what? He'll probably fire him too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He ain't going to stand pat. That guy will juggle his staff. But the guys that I know at Alabama think that they are absolutely loaded. Now, they're going to lose some good players. I mean, without question, they're losing some. But their defense wasn't very good this year. They played a lot of freshmen. And I'm talking about true freshmen. And they think those are going to be great players. And they'll keep them in their strength program for two more years. They're going to be a lot better. And defensively, they won't be giving up those box scores like they have been, where you look at the stats and you say, well, they gave up 400 yards. Alabama doesn't do it. Well, that was because of the youth of their defense.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phone line. Sterling is in Center Ridge. What's going on, Sterling?
Oh, nothing much, guys. LSU, they always plan in the Superdome for the national championship when they make it. When Nick won his, they beat Oklahoma in the Superdome and the Sugar Bowl, they beat Ohio State. And last one here, he was at Ohio State. They beat them in the Superdome. And when they lost to Alabama in the Superdome. If they make it to the next championship game, they're going to make it in those years that it's in the Superdome. And, it's in there quite often. I mean, it's not like it's that they play the next championship in there every blue moon. They do play in there quite a bit. But Dabo, I want Clemson. I really don't care who wins, really, but both schools kind of irritate me. LSU irritated because even though I love him to death, he's a good friend of mine, Tiger Bait. He's going to talk forever and a day if they somehow win. And then you got Dabo crying about and I know y'all say he's just trying to get this to reach his team. The difference between him and Nolan, they actually did say that. Album did actually say the dumb team against the smart team. That was really said. I haven't heard anybody downgrade LSU except that, I mean, Clemson except their schedule. And their schedule was bad. It's no fault. Most of it's not their fault. Because they don't, you know, they can't help what conference. I mean, I guess you can't help what conference you play in, but you know, they've been in the ACC for years, and it's happened to be down this year. I mean, that's not their fault, but the fact is, the schedule was weak. When you play, when nobody in your conference is in the top 25, I mean, that's just a fact. And being on, he won a national championship in the Superdome himself, and he had a lot more fans there when Alabama played the Miami Hurricanes than the Hurricanes of Miami. So it was a home game for them, too. I mean, come on. I mean, it was 80-20 in the Superdome that night. Now, everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand. I mean, I understand what he's doing. I just don't understand the fans that jump on board with the two. I mean, I'm neutral fans. Not. I ain't talking about Clemson fans, because that's what they're supposed to do. They're fanatics for their team. But I'm talking about outside observers joining in on this Clemson disrespect train. But they were ranked number three behind Ohio State and LSU. It wasn't like they were. How was that being disrespected?
Yeah.
I mean, and when Nolan was saying they were disrespected, he was talking about being called dumb. He wasn't talking about, because they were ranked number one most of the year. You can't be disrespected when you're ranked number one and you got a number one seed. It was the fact that it was a dumb team against a smart team, and they happened to be playing Duke, which is, I mean, a highly intelligent institution in and of itself. But he was complaining about how to.
I'm sure Clemson thinks we're the defending national title or defending national champions and we're undefeated this year. How are we not number one? Why are we number three?
Well, I mean, the schedule.
Well, we get that, but I'm trying to look at it from their perspective. You're trying to say, how does Dabo come out with this narrative that we're being disrespected? I think that's where it begins. We're an undefeated defending national champion and we're not number one. That feels like disrespect if you're in their corner.
Sterling, if you were their coach, you would be saying the same thing.
Right. I understand why he's doing it. I'm talking about fans that are jumping on the train with him. I'm talking about people from Arkansas that agree with it. That's what I'm wondering. I understand their fans. I understand their team. I understand why he's doing it. I don't understand why one of my friends from Conway want to argue with me like, man, they being disrespected. How? That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, did y'all really think they're being disrespected? I mean, just y'all? I mean, I'm asking you personally.
No. I don't think they're being disrespected. I think, Sterling, that, and we're up against it, man. Appreciate the phone call. But, Sterling, honestly, I believe that in their minds, they have to do it this way. They have to take this approach to be able to stay focused on it and understand, hey, listen, guys, they're not giving us anything. They haven't crowned us yet. We got to go out and earn it. But I don't think they're being disrespected. I think it's just the amount of respect that's being shown to LSU, who went up against some of the best teams in college football, who had an intense non-conference game on the road against Texas, who played Alabama, who played Auburn, who played Florida. It was just their schedule was chock full, and they answered the bell every single time. I think it's more showing respect to LSU and the greatness that they have more so than Clemson. So to answer your question, Sterling, no, I do not think they're being disrespected.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, gluten-free with no artificial flavors.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
By the way, Dylan and Greenwood texted in, and so we were talking about how many players or how many people from Arkansas were in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Yep.
You do have Dan Hampton and Lance Alworth. That's what we mentioned. And then, of course, Jimmy Johnson being inducted this year, but also Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones is an owner, yeah.
Willie Rofe.
According to this list, those are the only four that are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I think Willie Rofe, is from Pine Bluff, is in there. Yeah, we can double check that.
Did he go to the university?
No, you said from Arkansas, state of Arkansas.
I meant
you said from the state of Arkansas. Yeah,
I meant from the University of Arkansas.
Razorbacks, you're right.
Okay. So, anyways, that's your four. All right. Over the weekend, there's a lot of things that happened. So let's get into the best and the worst of the weekend.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
We the best.
This is the worst.
It's time for the best and worst of the weekend.
All right, it is time for the best and the worst of the weekend, presented by
The Fence Man. Hey, if you own a business that needs more security, or maybe you just want it to look better because that tired, worn-out fence that you have needs to go, and you need a better curb appeal, call The Fence Man. They can take care of everything. They've been doing it for more than 40 years. The Fence Man can custom install any type of fencing, take care of gates, controlled access, card readers, all of it. Call The Fence Man now for a quick, no obligations quote. 479-782-3936. That's 782-3936 for The Fence Man. He ain't afraid of no work.
All right, I'll go ahead and kick it off with my best of the weekend. My best of the weekend was Isaiah Joe and just the performance that he put in, because I don't think that any team who does a scouting report on Arkansas is unaware of Isaiah Joe and his abilities, especially to shoot the three. I don't think Ole Miss went into this game saying, you know what, we're going to just go heavy at Mason Jones and let Isaiah Joe try to beat us because he's not that good of a player. I refuse to believe that. They know what Isaiah Joe is good at. They know he can shoot threes as good as anybody in the country. He may be the best shooter in the country. But they also know just how phenomenal of an all-around player he has become, especially this year. But it didn't matter because he still scored 34 points. He still hit seven threes. He hit all of his free throws. He had some big steals, especially late in the game. Still rebounded the ball four times. He only turned the ball over twice. He was a playmaker. Big-time moneymaker, shot maker, however you want to put it, in the game against Ole Miss. And the fact that they know that he's going to be a great player, and they know that he has the ability to put up the points on you, and you still can't stop him, is just one of the coolest things you'll ever see, and just shows how good of a player you are. So the best I saw the weekend was Isaiah Joe, his consistency, especially when Mason Jones wasn't having the best night shooting for him. 3 of 12 from the field for Mason Jones. I'm sure he'll bounce back. But Isaiah Joe answered the call, answered the bell, and as good as his offense was, that defensive steal at the end of the game on the offensive rebound by Ole Miss was, in my opinion, what sealed it for Arkansas for sure. So, great performance by him.
My best of the weekend, we've been talking about it, was, and I'll put them together, Bill Cowher and Jimmy Johnson's reveals that they're going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Just, we never get to see really those moments when they find out and it becomes official. And they knew they were up for it. They knew they were nominated on the ballot in consideration, all those things. But to actually get to witness and see the moment and the true, raw, real emotions for both of those guys. And Bill Cowher embracing his family and embracing his teammates there at CBS. And Jimmy Johnson doing the same thing with the guys he's worked with for so many years at Fox. I just thought that was a neat moment that we never get invited into as a fan. And I just thought that was one of the best moments on TV I've seen in quite a while. It's my best of the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that moment to me, it was like
just both of them.
Yeah, it makes you emotional a little bit just watching that and seeing just again how much it meant to him. It triggers your emotion for sure. All right, Clay, what's your best of the weekend?
Those are all good ones, and you could say just Eric Musselman would be the best of the weekend, what he's done with the basketball team. But I'm gonna flip the switch a little bit and go NFL and Patrick Mahomes. That was an all-time performance. And he had two drops in the first quarter. That was what stopped their drives. It wasn't him that gave the Texans the lead. And then he caught fire, and it was just unbelievable that the performance that he put on. And he just, I mean, I call him the smiling assassin because he's just smiling and having fun the whole way.
Yeah. I mean, he's so much fun to watch. Just the way some of the throws he can make. And I know that there's a few examples of this as the season has gone on, but it's just amazing how he'll have big plays where he takes the snap and he is looking on one side of the field totally. And then in a split second instant, he just looks over to the other side, throws in, completes a pass. It's almost like he just has so much vision out there to where he can make it look like and have the safeties bite on one thing and throw it to the other. He's just a phenomenal quarterback. So that's a great one, Clay. And that's actually going to be a transition into what my worst of the weekend was. And the Houston Texans.
Well, that's where I was going to go.
Yeah, I mean, the fact of the matter is that you get up in games and teams will have leads and you start off to a hot start. That's one thing that happens in sports all the time. And we see great comebacks in sports all the time. But how in the world did the Texans look as good as they did to start that game? as dominant as they did to start that game, only to completely and totally let it go. I have never seen anything like that. They were up 24-0. No, I remember another team that was up 24-0 at some point in time of a game and lost the game on a comeback. That was
Charlotte, maybe?
Yeah, Arkansas, Virginia Tech. Yeah. Yeah, that was at least at halftime.
Thanks for reminding us.
Yeah, this one was early in the second quarter. I get, hey, listen, you can't ever count out Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, but you go from being up 24-0 to losing the game 51-31. I mean, you just cannot.
Incredible.
You just can't have those. And Deshaun Watson's a phenomenal quarterback. It's not like the Texans were just lucky to be there. I mean, they have some talent. They have some guys on that field that are phenomenal players.
I mean, just to dive a little deeper onto what the fake punt.
What was that?
On your own 30?
On the road in a playoff game.
In wintry conditions with a team that plays in a dome in Houston all the time.
How'd you let that one guy tackle
after
you?
Things are kind of not going your way already, you know, already a spark for the Chiefs, and then you just throw, I mean, you got a little spark going here, and they just threw gasoline on it.
Well, they did want to give the ball back to Mahomes. That's obvious.
Well, I mean, they did.
yeah, but it, you know, it's like, hey, you they're going to score a lot of points. You had to figure out a way to score points with them, and punting is one of the ways not to score points, but I get it. Now, here's the deal. That's the best place to run a fake punt to be successful. But it's got to be successful, right? It can't fail.
Yeah. I mean,
that's game, set, and match.
Because you had a lot of issues here in the special teams department for both teams, especially to start. You had, of course, it started with the block punt for a touchdown, and then you had a missed field goal right before halftime. I mean, the special teams was not very good for either team in this, but, you know, I just. If I'm a Texans fan, which I don't know any Texans fans, but if I'm a Texan fan and I saw that that was the performance that you put in and that was the decision you made at that point in time, again, if it works out, it's the greatest call of all time. But it's something that's going to sting for a while, because to get up on a team like that on the road, like Tom Brady and the Patriots would have found a way to win that game if they were up 24-0 on you. You know, it's just the great players find ways to get up big and keep that consistency going. But choking it away like that, you just can't have it. So, yeah, that's a good one as well.
Yeah. Since we talked about that, one thing that caught my attention, we get back to this here, over the weekend, did you see what Michigan State didn't do in college basketball?
Yeah, that was weird.
71-42, they lost to Purdue. Michigan State, number 8 in the country, got just throttled. So, don't know. Again, I don't know a lot of Michigan State fans, but that was just one as I was looking through scores yesterday. One of the worst performances by a top 10 team over the weekend. Only scored 20 in the first half. Just an unbelievably bad performance by Michigan State. 71-42, get beat by Purdue.
And what, 42? That's what you said?
42.
Last time the number 8 team scored 42 in a game was probably back in the World War II. Back when they, you know, they
in 42.
Yeah, back when they didn't have the shot clock. I think Tom Izzo is a phenomenal coach. And this is just one regular season game. It's not defining, but just because we go off a little off topic. Are you surprised as I am that he's only won one national title, considering how great of a coach he is? I mean, he won a title back in 2000 and hasn't won another one 20 years ago.
Considering all the Sweet 16, Elite Eights he's been to, all the chances he's had to only win one, just because he's been there so many times.
Yeah, and if you just put it the logic of numbers and, you know, the probability of everything, you would think that he'd make it. But, Tom, he's been to 8 Final Fours. Oh. 8 Final Fours and only one championship? Again, I'm not trying to hate on, because he's a Hall of Fame coach. He's one of the best coaches in the country. I'm not trying to say or that he's not to that level. It's just surprising to me, I guess.
It's one thing to get beat, one thing to get upset. It's one thing to get embarrassed like that.
Yeah.
By Purdue.
Yeah. But no, that's by Purdue. Can you name one player, or even the coach of Purdue? Because I sure can't.
Gene Katie.
Is he still there?
There you go.
No. Bad haircut? He was on Eddie Sutton's staff, and he was a great coach at Purdue.
Yeah. Well, it's...
Painter.
Is it still Painter? Because I was about to say, I thought maybe he had left, though, but who knows? Who cares?
Oh, I thought you said, could you name one coach at Purdue? Yeah.
No,
I was going to say, yeah. Yeah, Painter is he's pretty good too. Yeah, and you have to go through in college basketball and you look at all the great coaches, and there's not very many that have won twice. It's just that is the toughest of tough you know, to get through and then to win. And, I mean, Nolan's a perfect example. I mean, I think he had three teams that I think were quality national championship-type teams, and he got one. So, I mean, that's unbelievable to, you know, for it's just a tough nut to crack. And I wouldn't hate on Izzo too much.
No, yeah. And I'm not hating on Izzo at all. I am just saying.
No, I think you are.
I'm just surprised. I'm just surprised God. That he has had so many amazing teams. Because listen, I'm also surprised about Calipari only having one national championship.
There's another good case in point because I think he's a great coach.
Yeah, I mean he's had I think more NBA players, especially in his time at Kentucky, than any maybe besides Duke. But at least Duke's won a national championship or two in the past decade. But you just haven't seen it from this. So I understand. In fact, if you put it on a scale of what league or sport is the most difficult to win a national championship in, it might be college basketball. Because you go into a field of 68 teams where it's just one game, next team advances, which it's a very difficult thing because one bad shooting night in that tournament and it's all she wrote. How many great teams have we seen enter into the NCAA tournament, lose in the second round? I mean, it happens.
I know you get double elimination in college baseball, but still, it's about when your pitching lines up.
Yeah.
And do you have your best to go against their best? I mean, I think college baseball can be as difficult or maybe more difficult just because, you know, can you imagine having a starting rotation at your quarterback or your point guard spot? But you got starting rotations in baseball. So,
yeah.
You know, to your point, though, not always does the best team win in March.
No.
Not always, you know, in early April when the Final Four is done on that championship night on a Monday, not always is the best team in the field the national champion.
In fact, I'd even make the argument that more often than not.
I agree.
You have the team, because I'm trying to remember the year that Kentucky team that was undefeated heading into that ended up losing to Wisconsin, I believe, in the Final Four in that game. Like, Kentucky was the best team in the country that year.
UNLV in the early 90s had a team that won it, but then had another team that I thought was just as good and lost in the Final Four for the first time. So,
yeah.
I mean, it happens.
It does happen. And that's the whole point is that I'm trying to make is that I know it's difficult. I know that there's still great coaches, phenomenal coaches, Calipari, Tom Izzo, some of the best you get in the country. And I know Eric Musselman in there. I'm sure when he goes to the wins the national championship this year, he'll be among them. But I just find those things fascinating for guys that have so much regular season success, and even in the case of Izzo, tournament success, but just can't get to that final game and can't find a way to win the championship. So that was a good worst of the weekend. All right, Clay, what's your worst of the weekend?
Yeah, I'm just going to say that the worst is the way the Baltimore Ravens and the Patriots, and I know that's over two weekends, but just the way they have devastated, the national networks by not having Brady and Lamar Jackson playing on this next weekend. I mean, that is just crushing to them. Yeah. It's like, you know, Roger Goodell probably wept a little bit that those guys went out. I mean, it's, you know, those are the, you know, they've still got Mahomes, but those are the...
Some guy named Aaron Rodgers. So.
Yeah. But those are the ones that they, you know, that they probably have got a lot of commercials made for them, and they're not going to be in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So that's to me, and I'm happy. Don't get me wrong. I didn't want either one of those guys to win. So I guess I'm pulling for the Chiefs and Andy Reid. I don't know why, but I am.
Maybe it's
because they're fun to watch.
I got a lot of friends that are Chiefs fans, so
yeah.
I guess I'm rooting on their behalf.
Yeah, I like the Chiefs. I don't have an issue with it.
I don't have a problem with the Chiefs.
Yeah, and Andy Reid's also been one of those coaches that has had so much regular season success pretty much his entire career, but unable to win the Super Bowl.
Dre Greenlaw got Arkansas right, and I know people went crazy over that. Are we rooting for the 49ers or the Packers, though, in the NFC game?
I don't really care, personally.
I think just for my personal viewing, I would like to see Green Bay against Kansas City. But
I'd agree.
I'm you know, it's not like I'm not going to watch if it's the 49ers.
Yeah, and there's nothing against Jimmy Garoppolo, but you know, Aaron Rodgers is a sexy pick. I mean, you want to see the best quarterbacks. You want to see the name guys. You want to see if the NFL had their druthers, you'd want to see
Either. Exactly.
Like Green Bay versus the Patriots in the Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers versus Brady.
Rodgers versus Mahomes is pretty entertaining if it works out that way.
Right. And I totally agree. But it's that, and people also, you know, and you can throw another, like people want to see the Cowboys in there because if it's the Cowboys versus the Patriots or whoever, they want to see the big names in that game.
Hey, that Cowboys-Patriots game, I think, was among the highest rating games of all time. I mean, for a regular season game, it was way up there in ratings.
Yeah.
And figure that one out.
Yeah, I mean,
two all-time franchises. Yeah, you know?
And I'm just telling you right now, nobody wants to see, at least outside of those fan bases, nobody wants to see the Titans and the 49ers in the Super Bowl. Let's just be honest about it.
Particularly the Titans.
Yeah, and if you're a 49ers fan or a Titans fan, I'm sorry, but nobody wants to see your teams in the Super Bowl.
But it comes back to what we were talking about earlier. It all comes back to quarterback because we want to see Patrick Mahomes and we want to see Aaron Rodgers. Out of this group of four, that's who you want to see.
Yeah. And if that ends up being the case and that ends up being the matchup, I'm all for it. And I'm pumped about the Super Bowl. But Ryan Tannehill and Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't really do it for me if that ended up being the matchup. So I'll tell you, I'm rooting for the Packers, and I guess I'm going to have to root for the Chiefs as well.
Yeah. All right, best and worst of the weekend brought to you by OG&E. Is your home in Arkansas at least 10 years old and served by OG&E? If so, they have a free weatherization program to increase your comfort, and it will lower your bills. They have a trained crew that will do an energy audit at no cost to you, and if your home qualifies, they'll come back and install measures that can include attic insulation, LED light bulbs, weather stripping, advanced power strips, smoke alarms, and a whole lot more. It's absolutely free. Call 1-800-272-9741. That's 1-800-272-9741 for OG&E's free home weatherization program.
By the way, this was a good point that was just texted into us. This, of course, comes from the 479, no name there. But if it ended up being the Chiefs and Packers, be a repeat of the very first Super Bowl.
All right, there you
go. How about that? So a little stat for you to throw out there. Quay, what was that like? What was the first Super Bowl like, if you can tell us?
I don't really remember it. It's so far back, but it's I think I watched it. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure I did watch it on TV. But I don't think I was into cheese dip yet. So, it's like I don't remember what the appetizers were for that particular game. Got to have appetizers, right?
Right.
Yeah, I feel it's probably rock candy, like whatever old pharmacies sold back then. Rock,
whatever
and
they
pop.
Had at the general store.
Yeah, and pop and taffy. Yeah.
Yep.
Caramel colored, all that stuff. So
yeah, the Coca-Cola bottles were really small and really dense.
Only cost a nickel.
Yeah, they were cost a nickel.
And you put peanuts in them back then.
Yeah, just back in the glory days, that's for sure. But hey, I will admit this too, is that with a college football championship going on in the playoffs, as much as I enjoy the NFL and I enjoy the NFL playoffs, I still am going to enjoy, no matter who plays in the Super Bowl, this national championship game more tonight. I'd still appreciate and enjoy college football, especially in the postseason. Now that they've added the playoff games for college football, I still enjoy that element more than I do the NFL and the Super Bowl and all that. Because the points we brought up earlier, Tommy, is the Super Bowl is not about the game of football. You're not watching that for the game of football. Yep. You're watching it for the event, which is fine. It's not a bad thing. But for the college football championship game tonight, people are watching it because it's football and it's LSU and Clemson.
Well, you can watch it tonight at Sassy's. You can also check out Eric Musselman Live. It's going to be at Sassy's original Red House on College. And you can get by for the show tonight. They'll have the games on. And you can watch all the pregame stuff. And then I guess it'll be starting about the time Coach does his show tonight at Sassy's.
Yeah. And if you're going to go there, you got to try their barbecue nachos. I'm a big fan of them. And I've said it many, many times on this show. But this is the time to do it because you got to try it out. And tell me what you think. Add a little chicken. Add the meat that you like. But if I could just make a suggestion, try the brisket. Their brisket's phenomenal. And you don't even have to just get it on nachos. You can get it on tacos. You can get it by itself. You can also try their award-winning smoked wings. Because what's better to watch the games than to have a big old pile of smoked wings next to you? They're phenomenal. Is it the honey sriracha that you're a big fan
of?
It. Yeah, I know Tommy's on the honey sriracha. They got all those things. And they also got a full bar with great service, great people, and a great atmosphere. So check out the two locations of Sassy's in Fayetteville off of College, off of Wennington for lunch and or dinner. So you should check it out.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.